Welcome to our new Global Business Show, focusing on the world's biggest economic challenges.
With the sort of significant events that we're seeing, it would be a very different city under flood.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. It's our very first broadcast. We are delighted to be here. We're part Marketplace, part BBC, and using the best of both, we aim to give you a top roundup of global business news each weekday morning. This morning, North Korea faces more pressure to stop its nuclear and missile tests. A South Korean commander said hours ago Pyongyang's forces would be, quote, buried at sea if there's more provocation. Further sanctions might also be on the cards. The BBC's Yogita Limay is in Seoul.
We're about a month from when the last set of sanctions was imposed, and that was quite significant because it banned a large chunk of the list of exports, primarily coal, which is the biggest export of the country, lead, iron ore, seafood as well. We are hearing from analysts who track North Korea, very little is known about this economy because it's a very secretive country, that these sanctions have begun to bite, but I think it's more important. It depends on how well countries like China implement these sanctions. Some people say that China is 90% of North Korea's exports actually goes to China. China, of course, insists that it has implemented these sanctions. There are reports that suggest that the amount of coal China has been importing from North Korea has dropped drastically from February this year.
What would additional sanctions cover then?
The one big export from North Korea, which has still not been covered, is textiles and apparel. And if the UN were to consider further sanctions against it, the US might push for these goods to be brought under the sanctions list as well. The other thing that the US has been pushing for is more restrictions on North Korean workers who work abroad and send money back to their country.
Yogita Limay in Seoul. Let's do the numbers. Despite the North Korean rhetoric, South Korea's stock market closed only slightly down, 0.13%. European markets are all up, with Germany's DAX rising 102 points, or 0.84%. Now, one of London's biggest PR firms, Bell Pottinger, may collapse after it was accused of running a hateful and divisive campaign in South Africa. The BBC's Theo Leggett has more.
Bell Pottinger's campaign on behalf of investment firm Oak Bay portrayed opponents of President Jacob Zuma as agents of economic apartheid and used the White Monopoly Capital hashtag. It's now been thrown out of the UK Trade Association for deliberately stoking racial tensions. Founder Lord Tim Bell said the affair could spell the end of the business.
I think that probably is getting near the end, yeah. I don't know. You can try and rescue it, but it won't be very successful.
Lord Bell, who came to prominence in the 1980s as the architect of former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher's election campaigns, resigned from the company he founded last year. His departure came amid suggestions his abrasive style did not fit well with attempts to create a more corporate image.
The BBC's Theo Leggett. Last week you heard of the damage caused by the floods in Houston and South Asia. Today, the Caribbean is bracing for Hurricane Irma. Economists say storm damage can wipe nearly 2% off economic growth. So what are cities around the world doing to cope? I went nearby to find out. I've come to the Thames Barrier. Now, it looks like a series of mini steel Sydney opera houses. They can be raised like shields to stop the water flow if there's a risk of floods. Just beyond, I can see the financial district of London with all of its glass and steel buildings. Emma Howard-Boyd is chair of the UK's Environment Agency, which operates the barrier. Emma, what is this barrier protecting?
It's protecting 1.25 million people who live and work in London, roughly £2 billion worth of assets, 500,000 properties, a huge amount.
Now, if this wasn't here, Shakespeare's Globe, the Houses of Parliament, most of London's best-known landmarks would already be underwater?
With the sort of significant events that we're seeing, it would be a very different city under flood.
Globally, storms and floods account for almost three-quarters of weather-related disasters, and they're becoming more common. Here's climate physicist Tim Palmer at Oxford University.
The one thing that governments around the world are going to be really having to face in the next few years is what do they need to invest in to make their societies resilient to the changing extremes of weather.
But there's a problem. While weather damage in Asia is underinsured, just 8% of the $50 billion in flood losses were covered in 2014, in the US, it's a different problem.
One of the challenges we're currently facing is with government providing support after the event there's very little incentive to actually reduce risk and prepare.
That's Ivo Menzinger of insurance company Swiss Re.
You just can't build higher dams and protection. So you need to also develop a plan of how do you make yourself financially more resilient when flood protection fails.
London has already spent more than $2.1 billion in today's money to build and operate the Thames Barrier. That's a lot of money, but Emma Boyd of the UK's Environment Agency has advice for other cities tempted to skimp or delay.
I think one of the things that is going to be absolutely key wherever you are in the world, whichever city you're living in, is that you have to keep your planning ahead of the changing climate.
Gotta spend the money. That's the message. Finally, a German company has raised $90 million for its flying car prototype. The backers include founders of Twitter, Skype, and the Chinese internet giant Tencent. We're flying high too after our first show. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
This is APM, American Public Media.